Dr. Randy here from the Intentional Living Center. Welcome to the show today. I think you're going to enjoy it. I think it's really a practical topic, thinking about how often we get in our own way, trip over our own feet, shoot ourselves in the foot, as it were. And that can be very frustrating. And Satan loves it, and it keeps us from really experiencing all that God intends for us. And his intentions are good. And our mission here is very clear. We want you to experience God's very best intentions for your life, starting today, not tomorrow or 3 weeks from now, but right today, and that's possible. And so come on in. We got some great stories coming up and some help for you that I think will be an encouragement to you. Plus, this week we're introducing a brand new book that I'm releasing that'll be so helpful to so many people, called Breathe Again, Peace Beyond Fear and Worry in Your Life. And we'll be talking more about that. You know, when we talk about getting out of our own way, one of the things we can do is learn the importance of forgiveness.
My son, 9 months ago, got his fingers cut off in a lawnmower. And the forgiveness for me was not forgiving anybody else in the situation, but forgiving myself. As a parent, I felt that maybe I neglected the situation to where if I would have done something differently, maybe it wouldn't have happened. And I was to the point where I was totally ripping myself up inside. You know, I felt like my church life was falling apart. My spiritual walk with Jesus was falling apart. I was declining as a wife and as a mother. My church pulled me closer to Jesus. I never lost my faith. I always walked with him. But I was praying one day and I heard forgiveness, and I thought, I need to forgive myself. I'm so quick to forgive other people, but my walk in this is learning to sometimes that we just have to forgive ourselves, and it was a very humbling experience.
Getting out of your own way, and forgiveness is certainly one of the things we need to do. And if you're hanging on to guilt from the past, remember, God is a God of forgiveness. He's a God of restoration. I think of that passage in 1 John 1:9, if we confess the sin, if we confess those things in our life that we know that have been disobedient to God, the Bible verse goes on to say, if we confess those sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us those sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the good news is, when God does the cleansing, it's clean. It's cleaner than going through your car wash with your car 5 times. But seriously, God does the cleaning in our life, and it's a beautiful thing. So don't live in that place of continual guilt and regret, because Satan loves to reside there too. Today, how do you get out of your own way? This is Intentional Living. I'm Dr. Randy, along with Steve and the rest of the team. Welcome to the program. Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. Remember that? In the old days, the devil made me do it. And we know Satan is an adversary. The scripture tells us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but our wrestling occurs by the principalities in those dark places, Paul says. There's spiritual forces at work. But you know what? I am convinced that the devil gets blamed for a lot of things that come down to the decisions that you and I make every day about how we're going to choose to live. Because the devil is equally adversarial to all Christians, and yet some find victory and others do not. So often we get in our own way. It's not the person you chose to marry, or the person you married and the marriage failed. It's not the person you work with here in the ministry. It's not your children. It's not your parents. It's you and me. We wrestle mostly with ourselves. Success comes from making a decision about dealing with me.
You know, they say repetition is the best way of learning. And repeating that story, and I think that point from that excerpt from a teaching that I did a while ago reminds us of the fact that we can't be blaming other people. Also reminds me how our brains work, that while I was teaching that back then, it came to mind again today, that it's easy to point our finger at other people and even at Satan. And in a sense, if we do that to get off the hook ourselves, we do ourselves a great disservice. Because at the end of this whole story today, when we talk about getting out of our own way, we're going to have to do some reordering of our private lives. Because if we don't reorder our private world in terms of our thinking, our relationships, the decisions that we make. We're going to continue this pattern for a lifetime. Okay, Thomas, welcome from Kansas. How are you today?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. How do you get in your own way, man?
Man, you know, I find that, you know, I've been struggling with an addiction for about 30 years. And, you know, there's been times that, you know, I've been free and I turned around and went back to it. You know, I blame circumstances, people, even the devil. You know, and what I'm coming to learn is that, you know, I have nobody to blame, you know, but myself. You know, I really can relate to the Apostle Paul when he says that, you know, he did things that he didn't want to do, and the things that he wanted to do, he never done. You know, that's me to a T. You know, so I believe that. So that's my prayer, you know, is God save me from me. Because I am, and I realize that I can be my own worst enemy. So,
well, how does this addiction in your life hold you back? Hold you down?
Well, it holds me back from, you know, my relationship with family, my children, goals that I'm trying to achieve in life. It's always a downhill spiral, and you know, you would think that. I would like to use a comparison to one putting her hand on a hot stove. You would think that if you'd done that once and got burnt, that you wouldn't do it again, you know. But I find myself, you know, repeating, you know, the same destructive behavior, you know, time and time and again. And I don't know why. I couldn't even tell you why, you know, other than, you know, I believe that I'm my own worst enemy.
Well, I'll tell you something, Thomas. When we talk about the addictive process, and we know that when we can be addicted to substances or to pornography, there's lots of things. And, of course, there's a brain chemical part of this, of course. We know that the addictive process can turn to a sense of dependency, where there's that sense of dependency, I have to go back for more, and then usually more and more to meet the need, because it doesn't meet it quite like it did the first time. This is why the process of being addicted to pornography or addicted to drugs, you know, is a process that continues to evolve and become worse in a person's life. So we know that we need help for these things. And I tell people, if the roadblock in your life is one of an addiction, you have an addiction, get some help, get treatment, find somebody, find a treatment program, get help. Don't just sit on the side and assume it's going to go away. We need help. We need each other. And there are times when it's more than just, you know, I've got to change my attitude, or I've got to have a better outlook on life, or I got to start thinking differently. But when there's this dependency that starts to develop, the addictive process, then we do need to get help. How about you? We're not just talking about drug addiction or alcohol today. Sometimes it's just we have bad thinking, got pothole thinking, as I call it. You know, the Bible tells us whatever is right and pure and admirable and praiseworthy, think on such things. It's easy to have the wrong kind of thinking that ultimately will lead us in the wrong direction. Blaming others, that is a huge roadblock in our lives. As long as you're blaming an ex-spouse for how miserable your life is, you're stuck. As long as you're blaming your parents, as long as you're blaming your boss, you're blaming the world, blaming the government, you're stuck. That's a roadblock in your life. What's a roadblock in your life that maybe you've determined is there and it's time to knock it down with God's help? 888-888-1717.
Hey, I intentionally lost 148 pounds and I feel so much better health-wise. I had a lot of health issues as it was, and I still do. But if I hadn't have gotten that 148 pounds off, then it would have just been so much worse what I am dealing with. It took quite a while to do it, but you know what? I just kept praying and praying, and I would go to scripture, and I would see what God wanted us to do as far as it was about eating and taking care of our bodies and stuff like that. And throughout the whole process, I lost 148 pounds. I can't say that I went on a diet, I just strictly went by what God's word said about feeding ourselves, and it worked. It's been awesome. God has blessed me from it. I don't have a lot of the aches and pains that I used to have, and I give all the praise and glory to God for that.
Wow, 148 pounds. Congratulations. That's fantastic. You talk about being intentional. You're going to feel better, obviously. We talk about all of the things that we can do, the decisions that we make, that we get in our own way. It happens from the moment we get up in the morning, the things that we tell ourselves, the lies that we tell ourselves. We may get in our own way by having the wrong kind of friendships, having goals that don't make sense, or we don't have any goals at all. And there's lots of things that we can do that get us into trouble. And today, as we're thinking about how we can get out of our own way, let me share with you four things that I think we do to get in our own way. First of all, we have lack of clarity about the purpose of our life. If we, when we come to understand that there is a purpose for you and for me to be breathing, alive, and being on this planet, without a sense of clarity about the purpose of man and woman on the planet, we're going to make it up ourselves. We're going to make up that it's about pleasure or success. We're going to make up that it's about getting by or getting through or getting along or just making it through one more day. But when we understand that there's a purpose for being here, to bring glory to God, to enjoy His presence, to serve others, to have meaning in our life, when those things become part of the permanent part of our fabric of our being, that gives us a sense of direction. So a roadblock you may have is a lack of clarity in your life. Another is a lack of clarity about the problems that you face. I mean, let's face it, in our lives, we all have just practical problems that we're facing. I would ask you the question. Think about this for a moment, because my guess is you're stumbling over the same problems day after day after day that either aren't getting resolved completely, or you've ignored them, shoved them under the rug, set them aside, wish they'd go away, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil, just cover your eyes and assume it'll be gone when you uncover. I would ask the question, what one or two problems right now, or opportunities or challenges do you have in your life that if you were to focus on them for the next 30 minutes or next 30 days would make a huge difference in your life? Just a problem. Now, what do you do with a problem? If you've identified the problem, here's another roadblock. I think we have a lack of turning problems into goals. We don't have goals that say, here's what I'm going to do, here's what needs to be done, here's the goal to solve this problem. Give you an example. You may have a problem, like you heard this last caller talk about weight. Maybe it is you're not taking care of your health. You got to turn that problem into a goal, and the goal is, I'm going to take care of my health. More specifically, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to lose what, 20 pounds, 30 pounds. I'm going to see the doctor and make sure I have a plan that is healthy for me. I'm going to change my eating habits and my exercise habits, and I'm going to have goals that are measurable and specific and go after them. A roadblock is we don't have goals, and I think the fourth one is a lack of follow-through. And we don't follow through many times because of distractions, because of discouragement, because of lack of knowledge. Maybe it's perfectionism. You want to be perfect in your life. Maybe you've had a history of failing and it's hard for you to even think you can be successful, or a lack of accountability. Who's one person who can come alongside you today and hold you accountable? You know, those are some things that get in our way, but they're also the areas of potential growth in our lives. How about you? What's a roadblock where you've been stumbling over yourself? 888-888-1717. Stop telling yourself this lie in your life. I am Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. This is a very damaging lie that we tend to tell ourselves at certain times throughout our lifetime. And here it is. Nothing will ever change. You know, when we tell ourselves nothing will ever change, it robs God of His rightful place in our life. It limits God. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That's a powerful verse. It's a beautiful verse, and it's a promise.
So if you're feeling stuck today, maybe you're feeling stuck in your finances and your work and your marriage, and you just keep praying that things will change and nothing's changing, and you're about ready to give up, one more day. Keep trusting Him today. That's intentional living.
Find out more about freedom from hijacked emotions at theintentionallife.com/book. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy?
Hey, thank you, Kurt. Stumbling over your own feet, it happens in life, but when you stumble over yourself, your thinking, your behavior, and so on, you can mess up your life big time. And so how do we get out of our own way? Stand aside, look in the mirror, and your biggest enemy is you. It's you. It's me, oh me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Remember that? There's the song. It's me, oh me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. All right, Kate, welcome to the Intentional Living Center today, Kat. Kat, it's not Kate, it's Kat.
Yes.
All right, well, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What's your, how do you stumble over yourself?
Well, I constantly expect more from my siblings than she can offer, and my family in general. I've always had this idealistic family view. I come from a broken family, and a dysfunctional family, and my sister, I really would like to be a friend to her. I would like support from her, and she just is not capable of that, and we're black and white as far as our morality, as far as our worldview, everything, and so I think that if I would let go of the expectations of my family, let them be who they are and not what I think they should be to meet my needs, that would probably help a lot.
Well, I'm sure it would. I think it's guaranteed it would. Here's the problem, though. How do you do that?
Yeah, that's exactly my problem. It's hard for me because I see so many other people with these neat sister relationships and things like that, and these friendships with their sister, and I honestly don't even want to be around my own sister. She doesn't live close to me, but I'm going to go visit her, and I really would only want to spend one day with her, but I know that would hurt her feelings, and I don't want to hurt her feelings. But on the other hand, I feel belittled and sort of sometimes even it's abusive, not, you know, physically, but just verbally a little bit.
Well, my guess, Kat, is you're the pleaser in the family.
Yeah.
And you're the one that want to make it all good.
I'm a, you know, the one who, like, whenever things were going wrong in our family, I tried to be the clown and try and say, look at me, look at me, don't argue, you know.
See, part of a cat is this, and you hit it right on the head, and this is where we got to go when these expectations get in way, is expectations minus reality always equal disappointment in life. And when we have expectations for a sister or a brother or for an in-law that they're going to, if we just have a little more talk, a little more love, a little more time, they're going to finally, quote, measure up to what I think they should be or who they are, isn't quite what I want them to be or I thought they would be or they should be, then we're constantly disappointed, and we walk around in a world of constant disappointment. And you've hit it right on the head. And I think where you get in your own way with this one, Kat, is by allowing those expectations to stay where they are. You need to lower them and catch yourself from time to time being surprised. I think it's okay to say, you know, I don't expect anything. I don't know. This is what I expect from her. She's going to be, her tone of voice is going to be negative. I don't expect much from her. So when you do get something positive, it's wow. This is what happens in life in general, in marriage and family, even with our relationship with Christ. When our expectations are not met, it creates disappointment. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Brian in New Mexico. Brian, welcome.
Hey, Dr. Andy. How are you, sir?
Good. Good. How do you get in your own way?
So I was doing this for a while. I've made some corrections recently. So mine was, I am very involved where we go to church here in New Mexico, in Albuquerque. And we have three campuses here in the city. And I'm, you know, I was on the worship team. I'm on the worship team and volunteered with the children. And so I was at church Monday nights, Tuesday nights, Wednesday nights, Saturdays, and Sundays. And so that started to take a toll on my wife, you know, on my wife. And at the time we had two small children with one on the way. So after talking with my wife, you know, I noticed that she would get frustrated every time I would tell her, you know, I have practice tonight, or, you know, I'm going, you know, to church, and I got to be there early, you know, to do sound check and all kinds of stuff. And I noticed she would get frustrated, and finally I asked her, you know, what's wrong? What's going on? So she told me, she's like, it just feels like we don't ever see you. You're gone, you know, you're gone all these days, all these evenings, and you're at work during the day. And so, you know, I had to go to, I went to my ministry leaders, and I was kind of, to be honest with you, I was kind of afraid of, you know, how that might go, talking with them. And I talked with them, and I told them, you know, I gotta step back a little bit. You know, I gotta step back and rearrange some priorities. And it was great, because one of the pastors actually sent me a text message and said, I had no idea you were this involved. I had no idea you were serving so much. I respect what you did for your family.
Yeah, and I do too, Brian. You put your priorities where they belong. You put first things first. You know, we preach from the pulpits in America that God is our number one priority, our family should be number two, and then service, number three. And whenever service then gets elevated, sometimes even above God, you know, it's the act of service that even takes priority over our relationship with Him, let alone our family. By getting that back into order, you've honored God, you've honored ministry, you've honored your wife, you've honored your family. And frankly, that's manhood. I think that shows you've manned up and you're doing the right thing.
Right. And you know what I did is now, because like I said, I'm still on the worship team. I still do what I do with the children. But what I'll do now is I'll serve for, you know, not in a row, but 2-3 weeks, and then I'll take 3-4 weeks off.
That's what we call, my friend, around here. Are you ready? Here's a big, big, big word. Intentional living.
My intention is that I used to be a sailor, and I had a very bad sailor's mouth, and I am intentionally trying to correct that.
Hi, Dr. Randy. This is Diane. I just wanted to let you know how I was living an intentional life. A friend from church kind of convicted me that it was intentional for me to work on my marriage and how beneficial it would be to take the Crown financial course with my husband. I've decided to live intentionally. Every area, every five areas that you mentioned, I found I need to change up.
Thank you for your show. It's a blessing. My intentional living has become more intentional since I surrendered my heart to Christ. I've lost 170 pounds.
I have, over the years, tried to be an intentional liver, but thank you for your encouragement to remind us to live intentionally, and I do appreciate that. May God continue to bless you.
You know what, as I hear these, your stories, I feel like I'm the one getting the blessing here, you know? We started Intentional Living to help you, and I think you guys are helping me more as you tell me the stories of what you're doing. Losing weight, giving God glory, being better stewards with your finances, giving God glory, putting your marriage back together, changing attitudes. You know, we can't control everything, but you know what? We can control our attitude, our words, our interaction. We can control what we put in our mouth and what comes out of our mouth. These are things we can control, and when we do, listen, that's what we do. And when we do that, that's intentional living. So thank you so much. God bless you for sharing your stories with us. And by the way, if you have a story to share, you know, we always love to hear it, because when you share your story, God gets the glory. This is Intentional Living.
At some point, we all face a defining moment, a moment that demands a choice, turn away or take action.
The decision that you make when you're faced with that defining moment will impact your future.
It's a part of living. These moments and how we respond to these moments in our life help to define how our life is operating.
In Dr. Randy's teaching, Your Defining Moment, he'll unpack how Nehemiah intentionally responded to a defining moment in his life and how you can respond to yours. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message, along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You know, this is a very practical teaching that we're featuring this month for you all on this topic of really learning the power of these defining moments. And we all have them. Sometimes they only happen every so often, as it should be in life. We have a lot of moments, but once in a while we have these defining moments, moments that maybe today you're thinking, I need a defining moment for my marriage, a defining moment for my life, or I'm feeling really stuck or overwhelmed. It could be a change in direction today, and that's what intentional living is all about. And that's why we're here, and as we talk about getting out of our own way, it's one of the things we have to declutter. We talk about the first step of intentional living is experiencing one of these defining moments and then decluttering our life, and that's really what we're talking about when we get out of our own way as we talk about that today. And I just want to say the reason we're able to produce these spots and these radio programs and these teachings and the podcast and the resources is simply because of men and women, couples and singles, young and old, who support financially the ministry of intentional living. We have some who give very sizable gifts, and God's blessed them in their business and family. But most of us are supporting, you know, right around that dollar a day or $30 a month in support. And I want to say thanks to those of you who are joining us today. We appreciate your support. Tomorrow, I hope you'll be tuned in, because we're going to be making available for the very first time this brand new book just released this week that I've helped to create along with my team that we call Breathe Again. And it really focuses on peace beyond fear and worry. And I think you'll find it to be a very practical resource, and I'll be talking more about that tomorrow. Today, your support matters. You can join us. All you have to do today to become a part of the Intentional Living Ministry is call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, or go online to theintentionallife.com and click on donate. And we really do appreciate your support. We've got to run for today. Thanks for being a part of Intentional Living.